So remember, we're talking about the story of Rabbi Shmuel Shapira with the group of 260 breast of Hasidim from Eretz Yisrael. They got visas 1988 to go to communist Russia to spend Rosh Hashanah in Uman. So it was Shabbos. It was like Rosh Hashanah will be next year. Shabbos, then Monday and Tuesday were Rosh Hashanah. So fine. So Shabbos.
Sunday and Monday.
No, it can't be Sunday, Monday. Rosh Hashanah never have Sunday. No. Sunday night? No. Monday and Tuesday.
But they were split into two groups.
Right. So now 60 people were able to stay on Shabbos in Uman. They got permission for some reason. And the other rest did not get permission. And so 200 went, 70 stayed really, and 190 went back to the hotel in Vinica. It's about, he says here, 200 kilometers, he said less, whatever, from Uman. Yeah.
That's what, a 3 hour ride?
Less. An hour and 45 minutes, maybe an hour and a half. Yeah. Alright, so, Anav Rosh Hashanah. So they stay, by the way, so Shabbos, so the 60 people that stayed in a hotel. And they dive in there and everything, and they went to Uman Shabbos. They felt very, very, very nice, everything. And this disgusting hotel with nothing in it, not even one star, a very poor hotel, became a Breslov shul in the middle of Russia, dancing and this. And a lot of the visitors of the hotel, other visitors came to see what's going on here. What's this? They weird people, weird dressed. With Steinberg and Kaftan, they're dancing over here. And so, you could see also some of the people were much going, Kivyachol, some of them were much crying, and it wasn't going, a lot of them. There was a lot of Jews living in Uman. Yeah. And in Vinica, 200, the rest 200 people, they were. They were crying and screaming to Hashem and calling out and doing everything they can and speaking to the Russians. It was so close to Uman and so far. And the situation was very hard. But they had no choice. They tried. Money, everything, nothing happened. It looks like the Rosh Hashanah, they have to stay. Friday night, they went into Rabbi Yamin Zev Knepenmacher and Rabbi Yitzchak Anshin went into Rabbi Leizer Berland's room. Rabbi Leizer Shlita, which tomorrow he has a court, a stabbing for him, court case in Holland. Okay? See, how could it be? We're two hours away from Uman and you can't go inside. How could what's going to be? And Rabbi Berland, even though he was always against the Russians big time and always in a big way. If he could do something which would destroy the whole kesher with the Russians, he didn't know. It's fine. But then Rabbi Berland got up and said, if you have to steal Snapish, everyone will be Rosh Hashanah and Uman. Fine? If we're all together, I'm just saying, so they didn't have exactly what they're going to do. Didn't know exactly. But they knew one thing. They're going to be Hashanah and Uman. That's what they know. Hashanah 1988. Tafshin Mem Tes. Yeah. So, Sunday morning, Erev Rosh Hashanah, they let them go to Uman. The people in Vinitza to go and dive in there and Erev Hashanah and Tzion. The davened over there. Yeah, so they let them go for a few hours to Uman. And Rabbi Berland told him on the way, he told whoever's in charge to tell everyone to take all their stuff with them on the bus. So everyone did. And there was a whole thing of buses, four buses going to Uman. And they got to Uman, and Rabbi Berland was busy organizing everything. What was something was obvious that what's going on right now is going to be what's it called, a revolution against the Russians, completely changing everything over. Not just a little Afghana, something serious is going to be. So first thing he said, he told everyone. They quietly over whispered each in there, drag the time. The longest you stay, the better it is. And Erev Rosh Hashanah. No one knew why, but they knew that if Abdelan says, they know we have who to rely on. So the Russians realized that something's going on. They started pushing people and everything and this and that. And it took another hour or whatever until everyone got on the bus. And the people got on and off. And they're pushing everyone around. And wait, I have to go to that bus. And Abdelan is going to get a better idea. It's getting close to Rosh Hashanah already. So then he said, listen, 60 people that were here for Shabbos, now they're going to switch, and the other 60 people are going to stay. So the Russians said, okay, so they went to the hotel, and they didn't suspect anything, the Russians. Yeah, they didn't care about Shkia, the Russians, so they let them fine. Right away when they got to the hotel, Abdullah starts screaming stuff in Yiddish, everyone commands in Yiddish. Everyone has to take their stuff, immediately go up to the third floor and close the doors and then stay there. So, before the Russians had that opportunity to realize what's going on, they all ran upstairs. And the Russians are waiting for the other 60 to come back down. Other 60, and no one's coming down, so the Russians understand. And they clap the door they lock the door from the inside of the whole floor. It's a whole situation. Now a lot of police started coming, and they had a whole situation over there. In 70 years, no one did such a big thing against the Russians.
Big bear,
yeah.
So there were 60 people or 120
people? No, there were 60 staying in Uman, another 190 staying in Vinnytsia. And now the other 190, they came to Uman for Erev Rosh Hashanah, and now they want to also stay. So they went to the hotel, they told them we have to switch, and they all went up and locked themselves in their room. So
they had 250, I think.
Now they had 260 people, yeah. 70 in 190, yeah.
60 or
70? 70 190. Yeah, it was 10 kids, I'll say, yeah. So now they start talking with people, we can't go to Vinnytsia, the Jews are telling them, we can't go, we're religious Jews, we can't go, and the Russians don't know anything about religion, they don't care about religion, as everyone knows. Kitzel, if you really want to know the continuation, come tomorrow and I'll tell you.